You know, the older we get, the more seasons of life that we're going to experience. You know, like the four-month seasons of the year, our lives are like spring, summer, fall, winter. And if we live long enough, we may experience all four seasons. When I was 27 years old in November of 1986, I was pastor of First Baptist Church of Dannebrog. I did officiated at a funeral for a woman named Harriet Price. I Googled Dannebrog Harriet Price a couple days ago and got a couple. Well, that's not it. Oh, maybe they didn't get in. Nope. Anyway, there were to be images there of a gravestone and an obituary for Harriet Price. She was 102 years old. And she lived most of her life, except for 3 years, in or near Dannebrog. She was born in 1884. She was married in 1917. And she passed away, her husband passed away in 1957. And she passed away in 1986. So before the funeral, I met with family members, and we were just sitting in the living room, and we were just amazed about all the history in all the seasons of life that Harriet witnessed and experienced. She remembers Native Americans riding horseback, bareback on their horses down the main street of Dannebrog back in the 1800s. She was alive before the car was invented. She rode horse and buggy. She was alive before the use of telephones, the invention of telephones, the use of electricity, airplanes. She was a teenager in 1898 when the Spanish-American War took place. She lived through World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. 102 years old. She lived through all four seasons of life. Spring for her began in 1884, and the season of winter ended in 1986. Now, we're officially in the season of winter. My wife loves winter. She loves snow. She's from Minnesota. We'll be in winter for another 2.5 months. It's been pretty good so far. I mean, we've had some very cold days. We've had a little bit of snow. We've had some very windy days, which I'm not a fan of. But we've had a lot of pleasant days like today. But there's still plenty of time that we may experience more cold, ice, wind and snow, and just the bitterness of winter. One thing that we can be assured of, though, is that spring is coming. Amen? Followed by summer, then by fall, then back to winter. In life, we go through all the seasons if we live long enough. Spring, summer, fall, winter. This year, Lord willing, in July, I will turn 67 years old. And so I'm at least in my fall years, and I might be in my winter years. I don't know. My father lived to the age of 80. For me, that's only 13 and a half years away. And so I may make it that far. I may not make it that far. None of us know when our last day on earth will be. But by God's grace, we can live well for the glory of God, and we can finish well. Max Lucado put it this way. Scripture says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Glory days are days that can happen right now. The key is understanding some basic principles that just don't apply to one season of life, but transcend all seasons of life. Not allowing our circumstances to define our outlook on life, but allowing what God's Word says about life to define that outlook. Let's allow God's Word to define our outlook on life. We are going to look at Psalm 71. There's 24 verses in this psalm. Jessica read earlier from these verses here, and we'll come back to those. There's a lot of verses to look at. There's no title for this psalm, and so we're unsure of the author. It's possible that the author took portions of other psalms and composed this psalm. Again, we don't know who wrote it, but there's enough clues in this psalm to tell us that he was in the later stages of his life, probably in his last season. Let's look at some verses here. Verse 5, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." So he's reflecting back to his younger years. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Seems to indicate that he was in his later years. Verse 17, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. Again, another reflection going back to his younger years. And then verse 18, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Very likely the author of this psalm was advanced in years. We know that he faced adversity, and he faced people who wanted to harm him. We see that in the first few verses. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I continually come. For you've given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked and from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. So even in his old age, he faced adversity, and he had enemies that wanted to harm him, but he had this continual trust in God. The psalmist sought refuge and safety in the Lord. Notice the continual trust in other verses. But I will hope continually, verse 14. Verses 20 and 21. But you've made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. We'll come back to these verses in a few minutes. But let's just jump to the conclusion and notice how it ends in praise. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they've been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. And so the psalmist here gives testimony of the Lord's faithfulness through verbal testimony and through worship. And whoever this psalmist was, he worshiped and trusted the Lord from his youth to his old age. He is faithful to God in the very end because God was faithful to him throughout all the seasons and trials of life. Now, may that be our goal, may that be our prayer, that we will remain faithful to the Lord no matter what stage and what season we are currently at. Last Tuesday, I received a text message from one of my best friends in college. As a matter of fact, Paul Fugelstad and his brother Dave are my dearest friends from Bethel College. And so Paul sent me this message, and I think I got that. Here's the exchange. I can't read it, but maybe you can. My dear friend, age has finally caught up with Dad. He's a day or so away from transitioning to heaven. Praise God for Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. I thought you would want to know, and I did want to know. I in college, I was in their house so many times. They served me so many meals. It was ridiculous. 98 years old, Dr. Fugelstad, medical doctor, faithful follower of Jesus. The Fugelstad family actually lived on the mission field in New Guinea for many years when they returned to Minneapolis, where Dr. Fugelstad opened medical clinics in the inner city. David told me things about his dad that just, brother Paul, would tell me that Dr. Fugelstad oftentimes would treat people for free. You know, inner city people just come in with needs and they just didn't have the means to pay, and he would treat them for free. There were years where they gave away at least 25% of their income to the church and other ministries. Dr. Fugelstad passed away at 3:33 a.m. on New Year's Day. So he lived to 2026. He lived well and he finished well. And that takes us to our outline. And so from this passage of Scripture, there are three ways to maintain faithfulness to God throughout life. Number one, Cultivate lifelong habits to ensure a close relationship with God through all the seasons of life. Now, I know that's repetitive, but I wanted to emphasize that the cultivation of spiritual disciplines is a lifelong task for us. Now, in this psalm, we see this lifelong faithfulness to the Lord, this trust in the Lord. Again, verse 5 says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." So, children, teenagers, young people, just take this verse to heart. "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." Start as early as you possibly can to trust the Lord no matter what you face, because it will have a long-term impact on you as you age. Now, in that verse, verse 5, the name Lord is used twice, but there's two different Hebrew words for those two names. The first name is Adonai, which is more of a generic name for God, meaning Lord and Master. And then the second name is Yahweh. This is a covenant name for God. It's God's personal name. God introduced himself as Yahweh to his people Israel. The Jewish people considered the name Yahweh so holy that they never spoke it aloud. They just replaced it with Adonai. Now, notice, if you have your Bible open, that verse 5, that Yahweh, or Lord, is in all caps. The translators of the English Standard Version, along with many other modern translations, use all caps to designate that Yahweh is God's personal name, pointing to his self-existence and the fact that he had no beginning and no end. So when we trust the Lord, we're placing our faith in an all-powerful, personal God. So as we begin 2026, let's renew our love and our devotion to the Lord, and maintain or strengthen the spiritual disciplines needed to stay close to the Lord and to grow in spiritual maturity. Now, what do I mean by the spiritual disciplines? Well, spiritual disciplines like reading the Bible on a regular basis, memorizing Bible verses, meditating on Bible verses, studying the Scriptures, prayer, regular fellowship with God's people, worship, generosity, fasting, being silent before the Lord. There's many disciplines. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:7 urged Timothy to train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. The Greek word for train gives us the idea of working up a sweat in the gym. And the spiritual disciplines require that. They require hard work. That's why they're called disciplines. And so I've had to learn. I became a Christian when I was 15, knew nothing about the Bible except maybe the familiar stories. But it was up to my youth pastors and my professors and my pastors to teach me the Word, but I had to be disciplined in studying. And I learned the importance of memorizing Bible verses when I was in high school. Again, I was saved when I was 15. I was a sophomore. My first youth pastor, Greg Carlson, was a grace student. And I just remember times in youth group, he just quoting Scripture from memory. And he taught us the importance of storing away God's Word. Well, that the next year, my junior year, we had another youth pastor because Greg Carlson graduated and went off to Fuller Seminary in California. So we had another grace student named Dale Lang. And like Greg, he modeled and taught the importance of memorizing Scripture. I still remember a youth group. We're all just sitting on the floor, and Dale was in the middle of us, and he's teaching us. And I remember he's quoting 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I remember him saying, it's like our daily bar of soap. We need to go to God each day and confess our sins. I had professors at Bethel College who, in the New Testament department, I was a biblical and theological studies major, that were constantly quoting Scripture from memory. John Piper, Wayne Grudem, Robert Stein, Walt Wessel, Al Glenn. We had a wonderful Bible department, but I was also a minored in philosophy. And my favorite philosophy professor was Dr. Mel Stewart. And I remember during class, he's given a lecture, and he would just take out a piece of chalk and write on the chalkboard, the verses from memory, all in the King James Version for him. And what a wonderful example. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Even at my advanced age, I still desire to memorize and store away God's word in my heart. During our Christmas Eve service recently, I talked about a recent Uber passenger who was not looking forward to Christmas. He was a father of a young children and recently divorced, and he just told me he was just dreading Christmas because his family was no longer together. He then went on and asked what I do, and I said I was a semi-retired pastor. He paused and then asked what church I attended, and I shared with him about Converge Church. He then went on and talked about his own religious background. At one point in his life, he was a very devout Catholic. But since then, he's departed from the church. He paused again, and then he asked me, what is your favorite scripture? And I said, oh, there's so many. But I was led to share Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 are some of my go-to verses. We should always have go-to verses stored away in our heart and our mind, because when a situation arises, the Holy Spirit can just bring that verse to mind. And so I quoted Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This man needed peace in his life, and only true peace is through Jesus. And so after I quoted the verses, he paused again, and he quietly said, thank you. I dropped him off, and most likely I'll never see him again, but I've been praying for him ever since, that God would draw him back to the Lord. So let's go into a second way to maintain lifelong faithfulness. Continually trust God even during adversity. The psalmist was very familiar with adversity. Again, verse 20. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth, and you will bring me up again. The psalmist acknowledged that his troubles, his calamities were under God's sovereign control. He said, you made me see many troubles and calamities. So he understood that God governed the calamities and troubles in his life, and therefore he was confident that God would see him through those troubles. And so this is where the spiritual disciplines come in. Because when they're up and running and they're regular in our life, then we're going to be better prepared to trust God when trials come our way, and they will come our way, guaranteed. James 1, 2, and 3, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It's trials of various kinds. It's never if. It's always when. I heard Chuck Swindoll preach years ago that he says, if your life is good right now, well, just wait a few minutes. It's going to change. It's like Nebraska weather. It just changes like that. And, my wife and I have seen our family go through adversity in just the last week and a half. My mother falling on Christmas morning, breaking her leg, requiring surgery, going to start rehab tomorrow. Lois's father kind of going through a fainting spell because of pneumonia, rushed to the ER, had to spend the night there. My brother Chuck, his recent setbacks and complications from his dialysis treatments, is delaying his treatments because he's got to have another surgery, but the pain that he's experiencing right now makes his Parkinson's disease flare up. Just can't imagine what my brother's going through. That's our list. What's your list? What's your list look like? It's different than mine. But you know what? We have the same God. Same God that we can pray to and trust to help us during those times. So continually trust God even during adversity. And then number three, plan to joyfully finish well. By finishing well, I mean living well until the day we die. And again, we have no idea when that will happen. And again, it's apparent in this psalm that the author was old. I think I got that verse, yes, 71:9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. And again, verse 18, the psalmist wrote of old age, gray hairs. I was in my late 30s when my hair started gray. And I used to have a red beard. My hair has been gray now for nearly 30 years, what hair I have left. The psalmist understood his time on earth was short rather than long. Again, none of us know. Only God knows when we will breathe our last breath. Many years ago, Lois and I went to a homecoming at Bethel College, and at the banquet, there was one of my classmates named Pete. And Pete and I were the same age. We played a lot of racquetball together in college. And then exactly 1 week after that banquet, he dropped dead from a heart attack. Late 40s, early 50s. Just never know. And stories like that should remind us to live each day well for the glory of God so that we can finish well. And I want to joyfully finish well. I do not want to be an old, cranky Christian who's always complaining. Just don't need those around. And I don't want to be one of them. I want to joyfully finish well. And this psalmist, however old he was old, but he was joyful. I mean, look what, my praise is continually of you. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise. Verse 14, I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. I love that. He says, I'm old. I don't know how many more days or weeks or years I have left, but I want to praise you more and more and trust you more. And then verses 22 and 23, and I will also praise you with a harp for your faithfulness. Oh my God, I will sing praises to you with a lyre. O Holy One of Israel, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. So this psalmist, even in old age, was joyful, praising the Lord. But you know what? There's more than that. He wanted to continue ministry. He wanted to continue to teach younger generations of God's greatness and faithfulness. I guess I didn't include that either, but I'll read it to you. Verses 15 to 19. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for your number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to those who come. He wanted to keep teaching. He wanted to continue to be an example to the younger generations. There's no one like the true God, no one even close. And so the psalmist knew that, and so he knew with confidence that God is always faithful. And again, in verses 20 and 21, he says, you who made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. So the hardships, the calamities, they often increase the older we get. Now, just think about all the prayer requests that go out, the ones that I send out and Mike sends out on a regular basis. Many, if not most of those requests have to do with our senior citizens. We had three members of our church go to the hospital in the last week and a half. So my mother, Bud Cook, and Grace Royston. Three of our members, three of our senior citizens went to the hospital. My mom told me once that never to get old. She actually told me that several times. And I said, what can you do? I mean, if you keep living, you're going to get old. I saw Bud Cook yesterday, and keep him in your prayers. He's 89. He's just got a host of health issues that he's dealing with right now. But he was just talking about how hard it is to get old. It's just so hard. And, you know, right now, at this very moment, both my knees, my back, and my neck are in pain. I've been in a pain in the neck, but I've had a pain in the neck since the early 1970s. And so just even back then as a teenager, I was getting a little glimpse what old age is about. Billy Graham wrote that, he wrote this in his 90s, that getting old is not for sissies. Life gets harder the older we get. But our faith can get stronger the older we get, and it should. Our joy should increase the older we get because of our relationship with Christ and because of the grace of Jesus. Several years ago, a man at Harvey Oaks Baptist Church passed away. Everyone called him Doc or Doc Lewis. You may remember him. Retired veterinarian, Father Doug Lewis. Doc suffered with Parkinson's disease for the last 15, 20 years of his life. The last time I saw Doc, before he passed away, he was at a facility in Lakeside. I met him in the cafeteria. Doc was just sitting down, and I sat down, and he just ordered a cheeseburger and a Coke. Oh, I love cheeseburgers. You know, cheeseburger. And I cut it in half, and I prayed. We had, before he ate, he asked me to cut it in half. And so he, as we talked, he ate half of that cheeseburger, and then he offered the second half to me. Oh, thank you. It was so good. So good. And then I prayed for him. And I laid a hand on him. I'm sitting right next to him, prayed for him. And after I prayed, he looked me straight in the eye, and with a smile, and if you know Doc, you remember that smile, he said, "See you on the other side. See you on the other side." And Doc knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. It was only a couple, 3 weeks later. But he finished well. And I will see him on the other side. May we all joyfully finish well. The Apostle Paul, his last letter written, 2 Timothy, he's an old man. He's in prison. He's facing execution. He knows he's going to die. And yet he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And may that be our prayer, that we fight the good fight, we finish the race, and we keep the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for saints that have gone on before us, like Doc Lewis and many others who've paved a trail of faithfulness and longevity in following you. And Lord, we want to follow in those footsteps. There's many generations represented in this sanctuary, in this worship center. And whatever season of life that we're in right now, may we live well, Father. May we be disciplined enough to go to you in prayer and worship, to study and read the Bible. Just those basic things, Lord, that will keep us on track. Because we know that the older we get, the harder life becomes. And we desperately need your grace and your strength to help us during those times. And so, Father, we recommit our lives to you and our devotion to you as we begin this new year of 2026. May we all fight the good fight. May we all finish the race and run it well. And may we keep the faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.